TV.
Hey everybody, it's Martin Sander talking to you on Thursday evening. Just to remind you, there's a meet and greet tomorrow evening in Kansas City at the hotel. I will be there. I will be arriving around 11:30 a.m. Still can't believe I'm going to get on a plane tomorrow and come to Kansas City. I mean, I'm glad about it. I'm just so overwhelmed. But everything's going to be a miracle, and I'm going to see all of you, and you're going to lift me up, and I'm going to lift you up, and I'm going to see the results of me lifting you up, which will in turn, I don't know, I just think it'll be a happy tumult. And once I get on that plane, I'll be okay. You know, I didn't, so we're just go to the hotel where the conference is at. I'm thinking around 5 or 6. I mean, I'm going to be there. My plane arrives at 11:30, but I'm going to have to take a nap, and I might be spotted here and there, but I'm probably not going to make an appearance at the meet and greet till around 5, possibly 4. My son Gabe is driving, and it's 11 hours, I just found out today. And boy, I admire Gabe for that. And Greg's driving too. Greg, I'm going to have to call you tonight. Could you bring that same fan that you brought before for my room? I'll leave you a text tonight, because by the time this show is airing, you probably already left. Long drive for you. Not quite as long for Gabe. No, not quite as long. Yeah, not quite as long as Gabe's drive. But so let me see you at the meet and greet Friday. So this is an informal thing, right? It's not the conference proper. It's just everybody gets to see each other. I don't know if it'll be in the conference room. I don't think it will be this year. It was last year. I think this year it's just going to be in the common area. Just look around and look at people who are joyful. I'm going to get to that topic. You know, joy is something deep down that you have. Happiness is a fleeting thing that can't be counted on in this life. Well, so I have to make a short show. I have to get to bed. I have so much to do and so little time in which to do it. I woke up at 5 and I looked at my emails and I saw that I had the results of the MRI. And I was very afraid of the results of the MRI. Just human fear, just think the worst. I saw that the results were in an email. I said, well, there's no way I'm going to look at this without my wife. She's still sleeping, obviously, because she's smart. It's 5 o'clock. I'm going to go out for a run. So I watch a little bit of news. Oh, I edit my video. Okay, so I made that video yesterday, and I was so, I really wasn't sure I was going to publish it. I was afraid to look at it, too. I really was. I always start editing the night before, but I couldn't even look at it. I just thought, this is one of the worst videos I've ever made. I was just so angry. And I called it Righteous Indignation, but maybe it wasn't. But now that I see it, it is. And I said, I'm just so tired. I'm going to go to bed. In the morning, I'll look at it with fresh eyes, and I'll decide. And then I'll ask Kelly to watch it. And I told Kelly, I said, if you think this is terrible, we won't publish it. We'll just put out a best of, you know, say, sorry, this is the best we could do. So I got up, and first I noticed that I had the MRI results. I set that aside, so I can't look at that. Not without my wife. So I tried to put it out of my mind. So, and I had the video to occupy my mind. So I watched my video and I thought, you know, it's not a bad video. It's honest. It's true. And your comments were excellent. Thank you. Greg kind of made fun of me at the beginning. I said, well, I have nothing to say. And then I just unloaded at the end. But it was real. I'm going to talk more about it at the conference. I got a little bit more about it to say tonight. So I decided it was a go, but it was still up to Kelly at that point because I trust her judgment. So I started to run. I went out for a short run, 5-mile run. Still hadn't looked at the MRI results. Scared to death, trying not to think about it. Thinking the worst. Because I've dreaded this MRI for a year. I dreaded the CT scan for a year. That turned out okay, but I just thought MRI sees more. went for a run. And I had a doctor's appointment at 10:15 with a ear, nose, and throat doctor. And that was, wait till you hear what happened then. I'm not going to spend all day, all show talking about this, but I want to bring you up to date so you know where I am when you see me at the conference. And everybody will know what's happening with me, and it's all going to be good. So Kelly watches the video. I call her during my run. She goes, it's a great video. It's fine, really. It's good. It's good. And I'm going, really? Okay, publish it. So at 8 o'clock, it went out. And your comments were so good. Thank you. I tried to answer everybody today as best as I could. Thank you very much for your comments. So encouraging, so loving, so great. So I get home from my run. And it's getting late. It's about 9:15. I have to wake my wife up. So I wake up Maria. I said, baby, I can't look at these MRI results without you. So she woke up. I got her a glass of water and started waking up. And I brought my computer in and I found the file and I logged in. I had to make a login and everything. Shaking. I'm shaking, shaking, shaking. Anyway, the MRI was fine. I mean, we were looking for the words tumor, looking for the words carcinoma, looking for the word metastasize, looking for all these horrible words that were there when I first was diagnosed. None of these words are there. It's just cyst and tissue issues and positioning, and it was nothing, nothing, nothing. And we read it very carefully. I mean, of course, it's in some medical language, but we know what words to look for. And we read it, and I said, please let this thing finish soon, because the more we read, it's not there, it's not there. They're just talking about this cyst. And the day before, we were talking to Sasha, and he had said, he saw the number from the blood test. He goes, wow, this is a really serious infection. I mean, it is. He said, that could explain everything. So I'm like, that's actually good news. He goes, yes, it is. So, you know, and this is all... The MRI is looking at all this. So we're like, yeah, me and Maria, we high 10 each other. High 10. I'm so relieved. I'm going, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But then I feel terrible for all the people who have shitty results. I'm thinking, this is wow. Oh, thank God. Thank God. It's just a drainage problem because I'm missing lymph nodes. That's another problem. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that yet, but that's another problem besides the other problem. Okay, so relieved. So then we went to the doctor. And I'm thinking, well, hopefully the doctor has seen the information. And, you know, before you go to the doctor's appointment, you fill out all this stuff. You tell them your whole history, why you're there, your problem. I had this surgery a year ago. You tell them everything. And the first thing, the doctor walks in. She's like in her early 30s, or late 20s, young, and instantly, my wife reads her like that. I'm slow. She gets her already. I soon find out. Doctor says, well, what are you here for? It's like, well, you don't know. Like, I didn't say any of this, but I'm thinking, you didn't look at my file. You didn't see the MRI. You know, I filled out all this stuff for you, and you don't know why I'm here. Okay. Anyway, I have some lymph nodes removed. I had squamous cell carcinoma in my mouth, but that was removed. It had gone down into some of the lymph nodes on the same side, but those were removed, and all the cancer was taken out. But now I have a drainage issue, and there's a cyst in here, and she gets this serious, deadly look on her face. I said, because I had mentioned that I got the surgery. So, well, oh, where did you get the surgery done? In Peru. Why did you go to Peru? Well, because we knew a doctor there and we had a friend there. You shouldn't have gone to Peru. You need to get things like that done here in the U.S. She was an A1 bitch. She was the witch of Endor. She was the evil twin sister of Lizzie Borden. And I could just feel Maria bristling. And me too. And this one was just so superior. She says, I think it's a recurrence. I think it's, in other words, she thinks the cancer's back. I said, did you read the MRI? No. Well, you might want to read the MRI. It's good. I'm clean. Well, do you have the MRI? You're asking me if I have the MRI? So I'm looking through my email. I said, it's probably the company, and I named the company. So she goes away and looks at the MRI. And I'm looking at Maria, and we're rolling our eyes. I mean, this lady, she was doing everything but chewing gum. Everything but snapping gum. She was such an amateur. She was so, oh, and then this is before she goes out to read the MRI, she says, did you follow up? I said, I followed up with an immunology expert. She goes, you mean immunotherapy? I said, no, I don't. I mean, I turned to an expert in Peru. Again, I mentioned the deadly word, to strengthen my immune system, you know, rather than destroy my immune system. And this was the third time that I told a mainstream doctor that, and they began to hate me. You could detect it. You could feel it. You could taste it. You could see it. You could smell it. She hated me. First, she hated us that we went to Peru. Hated us for it. You could tell. She was holding back. We lost eye contact. She's wandering all over the room. She's nasty. Lizzie Borden's evil, cruel, evil sister. You have to follow up with these things. I did follow up. I just didn't follow up like you wanted me to, but I did follow up. And I've been strengthening. She has no interest whatsoever in what I was doing with my immune system. She just says, it's a recurrence. It's probably a recurrence. I don't like the way that looks. I said, I don't like the way it looks either. Have you read the MRI? No, I haven't. Well, you might want to read it because it's pretty good. Like we were telling her. So she goes out for 10 minutes. Me and Maria are looking at each other. Just what? I'm ready to walk out. She comes back and she says, well, like I swear, this chick was disappointed that she didn't see it in the MRI. She's disappointed. Do you know what she said? Get ready for this. You're not ready for this. But I'm going to tell you what she said. Just, well, the cancer can hide. Cancer can hide. Well, hides in the MRI. She wanted me to have cancer so bad because just like, I mean, not every doctor's, even in Peru, they have their mainstream doctors. That young guy we went to in Peru said the same thing. I mean, I felt the same thing from him. He wanted me to be punished. Stupid idiots like me who do not bow down to the god of mainstream medicine and follow their protocols of burning you, radiation, and poisoning you, chemotherapy. If you don't do that, if you have an alternative method, which for me has worked, Sasha told me, if you follow this protocol, it will be impossible for your cancer to return. And it has not returned. And I had a CT scan and an MRI. It has not returned. But they want it to be there so bad. They want me to be punished so bad. They want to find it. And they look for it. And she couldn't find it. She was so pissed. She was like, it hides. It hides. And Maria and I almost laughed because it was so freaking ridiculous. At that point, they try to scare you, intimidate you, just like organized religion. It is so similar to organized religion. It's sickening. They want to tell you you're not baptized. You weren't baptized in our system. You didn't go through the baptismal process. You know what can happen. She told me, you're rolling the dice. You're rolling the dice. I said, well, have you heard of the saying, the cure is worse than the disease? Well, yeah, I have heard. I said, you're rolling the dice. Oh, didn't like that. I'm ready to walk out on this bitch. Oh, she was nasty. I'm going to write a scathing review. And I'm a professional writer. After I'm done with her, she may never work again. Because I'm going to write a review. I'm going to publish it all over the place. She disrespected us. She had no interest in what we were doing, what we had done. She didn't want to hear about our immune treatments, about what I've been doing constantly for 9 months to build up my immune system so that I would never get this again. She didn't want to hear any of it. She despised it. She despised Peru, the whole country. Yeah, there's some bad doctors in Peru, but there's a lot more here. So I'm sorry for anybody in the medical profession, but the similarities between Mainstream medicine and mainstream religion are too obvious to ignore. They shame you. And if you're not in their system, you're not, but you're not baptized. You better be baptized. I mean, you really don't have to be, but you, unless you're baptized, you're not one of us. And you, they look on you differently if you're not baptized. If you're not a member. If you're not a member of the church, if you're not baptized, they look at you differently. You're an outsider. You're weirdo. And they really think differently of you. They really don't like you. And they don't want to hear that Jesus is your head. Oh, God forbid you quit church and never see them again. Never walk into the building again. You're done. You're lost. Oh, they love you. They love bomb you when you're in the system. As soon as you get the truth and walk out, you're done. According to them, you're done. You've lost your head. They don't want to hear that your head is Jesus Christ. This lady doesn't want to hear that Sasha has more wisdom than all those doctors put together. About the body, about how it heals, about how it works, about how cells work, about how to protect cell walls. They have no idea. They have no clue. I told you yesterday about that world-renowned Dr. Sasha Matt, and he found out how stupid he was. It would be like me talking to Billy Graham or talking to some big-time TV minister and finding out, of course, they don't know anything of what I know. They don't know anything about Paul's gospel, about the three Greek words translated to hell. They don't know anything about God's aeonian purpose. They don't know anything. They're stupid. They believe in free will, eternal torment, and the Trinity, and yet they've been through 15 years of school. They're idiots. And these doctors only know one way. They only know one way. Especially the young ones. They only know one way. There's only one baptism, and it's water baptism. And you have to be dunked. And you have to sign a statement of faith, and you have to profess the statement of faith, and you better bow down to their idol. And if you don't, you're an apostate, and they hate you. And I'm not going to be treated by someone who hates me. And we both felt despised, and we left. We felt despised and hated by a medical professional who's supposed to help us. No help there. I want to finish this show by saying, I thought this was a joke. Kelly sent me a new book by Clyde Pilkington and Steve Martin. Steve Martin is the one who thinks it would be beautiful to die in front of his grandchildren. And he thinks most people would think it was beautiful. I questioned him on this. I said, why? You and Clyde and Dean Wilkinson and Chris Carnahan, you guys are now all looking forward to death. You believe that every member of the body of Christ must die. And so you're not looking forward to being made immortal. You're looking forward to death. I said, doesn't that bother you? And Steve Martin said, well, most people think it would be a beautiful thing to die in front of your grandchildren. And I talked to people who watched their grandparents die, and they said it wasn't beautiful. They're gasping for breath, drooling, convulsing, shitting themselves. And just it was that beautiful, but these people think that's beautiful. And there's a new theory now. They have a book out called The Leaping Jesus. I thought this was a joke. Kelly sent this to me. I want to show you the cover. The Leaping Jesus, Rethinking the Man of Sorrows. Because they changed the word grace, they've taken grace out of the vocabulary and they've replaced it with joy. So everywhere in the scripture where you see grace, which is the Greek word charis, which means grace, they change it to joy, even though there's another Greek word for joy, chara, that's joy, but now they have two words for joy. So they're acting like King James translators. And I thought this was a joke. So much for the man of sorrows. No, Jesus was a joyous, happy guy. Here he is. This is the cover of the book. This is the freaking cover of the book. This looks like a children's book. It's not. It looks like a joke book. It's not. It looks like something from a Pentecostal church. It's not. It's from Clyde Pilkington and Steve Martin, who has decided to wear Hawaiian shirts the rest of his life because he's so happy to be in this world. So happy. And apparently Jesus was too. Who knew? I thought he was a man of sorrows. Well, listen to this. This is from the description of the book. I'm going to talk about this more with you in Kansas City. Description: if Jesus could leap for joy, then joy was never meant to be optional. The first thing you look at this, crazy picture of Jesus and you think, God, what's wrong with me? God damn, what's wrong with me? Same thing when you read Clyde's book, Wife Loving. You read that he misuses the metaphor in Ephesians 5, as I've explained exhaustively, takes it too far. There's only one point of contact in a metaphor. Paul is comparing Christ to husbands and wives to the ecclesia. Clyde takes it too far because he doesn't know how to handle a metaphor. And so, and husbands have read Clyde's book and said, oh my God, I can't do this. How can I do this? I'm supposed to give up everything. I'm not even supposed to have a will. I'm not even supposed to have a desire. I'm just supposed to go give up everything, like entering into a prison, entering into death, and my everything is for my wife. I have no self left. I have no life left. And this is exactly what Clyde teaches. And men have read that book and go, how can I do this? I look at this picture and I said, what am I doing wrong? I should be jumping and dancing and having a hell of a good time. Here's a man who's got the shadow of the cross hanging over his life the whole time. And yet, look at him. This is fantastic. Boy, these guys have invented a different Jesus. Clyde Pilkington, Steve Martin. Well, we already know they don't believe that he was pre-existent. So that's a different Jesus. They don't believe in the Jesus of Scripture. They believe a Jesus that found himself in a strange predicament through no voluntary action of his own as a baby in Bethlehem. So that's wacky, as we all know. Now this, rethinking the man of sorrows. These people, Clyde Building, that I'm telling you, is rethinking everything. Now, there's no such thing as grace anymore. Because, as Dean Wilkinson said, now people don't have to worry about, not being worthy. Some people, if they feel like they're not worthy, which grace is favor granted to those who aren't worthy. That's what grace is. It's the definition of it. But you don't want people to feel unworthy, because they just might feel unworthy. If they feel unworthy, they might feel bad about themselves, and they might be sad. Oh no, they're supposed to be jumping like this, like the Jesus here. Supposed to be jumping for joy. Look at this. Here's the description. There is a moment in the Gospels where Jesus does something most of us never imagine. Can't wait to hear what it is. Boys, what is it? He leaps for joy. Really? Where the hell is this passage? Luke says he, quote, exulted in the Holy Spirit. You're kidding me, right? Luke says he exulted in the Holy Spirit, overflowing with visible delight. Was it Luke that said overflowing with visible delight? A surprising picture. Yeah, I know we have the picture here on the cover of the book. That is surprising. See Jesus in this attitude here, flying through the sky. Great smile on his face. Having the time of his life. Looks like he just did a skateboard trick or something. Right, Seth? A surprising picture, especially if we've learned to see him mainly as a man of sorrows. Yeah, I kind of thought he was like a man of sorrows, and I'm going to read to you why. Crazy me. So which is it? Clyde asks. Which is it? Like, he can't be like exultant in one moment in the spirit, like have a little spark of happiness for one moment and still be a man of sorrows. It's got to be either or, of course. Which is it? Was he a man of sorrows, or was he this guy? The leaping Jesus takes a fresh look at Christ as the Gospels present him, revealing a Savior who knew sorrow but was not defined by it, and whose life was marked by joy. It's marked by grace, but they changed grace to joy. Jesus was full of grace, you see, but they changed grace to joy, so now they think Jesus was full of joy, and he jumped around like this all the time, because they don't understand that the English element of a word is not the definition of the word. Charis, the English element, is joy, but the definition is grace. Charis, the English element, is also joy, but the definition is joy. They don't understand any of that. But they love writing books about things they don't understand. It's a general practice these days. I mean, Clyde's got some great books, but he's got some bad ones too. This is not about denying the cross. It's about recovering the life that led to it. Now, what I want you to do now at the end of this show, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look at the leaping Jesus. Stare at that as I read from Isaiah 53. Starting with verse 2. And I want you to look at this. Look at the leaping Jesus on the cover of Clyde's and Steve Martin's new book. Steve Martin, who thinks that dying in front of your grandchildren is beautiful. Okay? Here we go. And he wears Hawaiian shirts. This is Isaiah 53, starting with verse 2 from the Concordant Version. He is growing up like a young shoot before him. This is him growing up now. This is not the week before the cross. This is not him on the cross. And like a root sprout out from arid earth, He has no shapeliness nor honor that we should observe him, and no such appearance that we should covet him. He is despised and shunned of men, a man of pains and knowing illness, and as a concealing of faces from him. He is despised. This is before the cross. He is despised, and we judge him of no account. Surely he himself bears our illnesses and our pains. He is burdened with them. As for us, we accounted him assaulted, smitten of Elohim, and humbled. Now comes the cross, verse 5. Yet he is wounded. That starts the cross. But before that, and at the conference, I'm going to deal with a verse that many people misunderstand. Verse 14 of the previous chapter, chapter 52 in Isaiah, just as many were appalled over him, so ruined was his appearance more than any man. I'm going to explain this verse at the conference. So ruined was his appearance. Ernest Martin has the worst, one of the worst, I'm sorry, but one of the worst interpretations of this verse I've ever heard. That he, so ruined was his appearance more than any man, and his shape more than sons of Adam. I'm going to explain. There was something about him during his life that was repulsive, because I believe he groaned his entire life, almost his entire life. Let's go to the verse. Clyde says, cover drawing is taken from. This is it. Let me go back. No, Jesus was a man of sorrows. Most of his life, he was freaking lowly and despised, and he had a strange appearance. He looked troubled. He looked burdened. He was acquainted with the illness. That's what it said. And again, the description from this book is there's a moment in the Gospels where Jesus does something most of us never imagined. He leaps for joy. Can't wait to read this verse. Luke says he exulted in the Holy Spirit. Here's the verse. Luke 10:21. In this hour, he exults in the Holy Spirit and said, I am acclaiming you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you conceal these things from the wise and intelligent, and you reveal them to minors. Yes, Father, seeing that it became a delight in front of you. Are you telling me that he exalts in the Holy Spirit? Is this a picture of somebody? Is this a picture of Jesus as he's saying this? He's saying in this hour, it doesn't even happen for an hour. He's not exalting for an hour. He's exalting in this hour. He exalts in the Holy Spirit. It's a tickle, yes. And the word does, the elements of the word, the Greek word is agalio. Agalio is the Greek word for exalt. And yes, and here's another case where these gentlemen do not understand that the English elements of a word do not define a word. The English element is very much leap, very much leap. So in this hour, he exults in the Holy Spirit. He is leaping in the Holy Spirit. He is thrilled, you might say. In this hour, he's thrilled, and he's acclaiming the Father for concealing these things of wisdom from the wise and the prudent and revealing them to babes. He doesn't look like this as he's talking to the disciples. This is a caricature. This is ridiculous. This is not exalting in the Spirit. There's a verse. David, in Acts 2:26, David speaks of, exultant is my tongue. Exultant, my tongue. Is his tongue jumping around? Is his tongue leaping? Those are the English elements, very much leap. But it's not a literal leaping. It's not literal leaping. It's not. And it's in the hour. It's not his whole life. This does not define his life, this illustration here. It defines a moment. He's exulting in the Holy Spirit. It's like, yes, yes, his heart is leaping. Yes, his heart is leaping. His mind is leaping. But he's not a freaking happy lunatic. He has a moment of thank God. And then he goes right back to being a man of sorrows. Which is it? It's got to be either or. No, let him be happy. Let him leap in his heart and his spirit for 10 seconds. But he's groaning, as we are. All creation is groaning, except for Clyde and Steve.